Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we're going to begin our study of the book of Daniel as it relates to the overall study of God's plan through the ages. Daniel deals with the member of the human family known as the Gentiles. Remember, there are three members of the human family: Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. God has a plan for each of these members of the human family. In the book of Daniel, there are some very practical passages. And, of course, Daniel is a book of prophecy. Prophecies focused on the Gentiles. There is a key phrase that is found in Daniel, and it is the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles extend all the way through history and include the 7-year tribulation period that begins after the rapture. We'll begin our study today in Daniel chapter 1.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Daniel, if you will, with me, the book of Daniel. Now, reminding you that indeed what we have learned thus far, there is a philosophy of history that gives us a systematic interpretation of the past, that gives us the whole scope of history, the past and the future, that helps us to coordinate and make certain that these, and there is meaning and purpose in how we put history together and understanding how that happens, and that there is an ultimate end to history. And that is key to understand where we're going to go. The three questions that Jack Wirtson used to ask: where did I come from, or where did you come from? Why are we here, and where are we going? Three important questions which really lay out the understanding of time and history, his story. Genesis 1:1, Revelation 20, verse 11, when all the earth is burned up and we move into eternity future, which is not does not include time. And then we talked about the three members of the human family: Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. From Adam to Abraham, that's a 2,000-year period of time in the Bible. That's Genesis 1 to 12. And there were only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. From Abraham to the apostles, another 2,000-year period of time in Scripture. That would be Genesis chapter 12 to Acts chapter 1. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit baptized believers into the body of Christ. That established the third member of the human family, the church, and that would be from the apostles to the Antichrist. And so you can use those four personalities, Adam, Abraham, apostles, and Antichrist, to see how God has a plan, a systematic plan going through history. We need to understand that plan, God's plan throughout all of the ages. We're coming now to the first book that is a timeline for one member of the human family. Next session, we'll look at the book of Ezekiel. It's a timeline for the Jewish people. And then finally, our final session, we'll look at Revelation, a timeline for Christians, but also includes the other two members of the human family as well, and has a purpose of helping us to understand what will happen with the Jews, with the Gentiles, and with the Christians. God has a program for each member of the human family. Sometimes they overlap a bit, but nobody is two members of the human family. You're either a Gentile, a Jew, or a Christian. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and following, two people at enmity with each other, Gentiles and Jews, a wall of partition between them. When that wall was removed by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, two people became one, and those would be Christians. So there's no such thing as a messianic Jew or a completed Hebrew. If a Jewish person gets saved, that person is a Christian. If a Gentile person gets saved, that person is a Christian during the church age, from the time of the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, to the rapture of the church. In those parameters, day of Pentecost, rapture of the church, The Christians are made up of Jews and Gentiles who come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, that period of time would be referring to the church or the bride of Christ. As we go now to the book of Daniel, our efforts are going to be to look at the timeline for the Gentile people. We've looked at the overall timeline. I did that as I traced from Adam all the way to eternity future. And thank you for being so patient with me as we went through that. But, you know, people tell me, DeYoung, you go so fast. Well, that is true. But you got it all in your mind through your eye gate, your ear gate, and if you're taking notes, your touch gate. You got the information in your brain, in your database. You'll remember it. You'll never forget it. You cannot forget anything you've ever put in your mind. That's why it's key to make sure you put only pure things that you read or that you hear. And that's the purpose of God when He puts everything in your mind to bring it back to your attention. The Holy Spirit, John chapter 16, Jesus said, I'm going to go. I'm going to send the Spirit of truth, the Comforter. And when He comes, He will teach you things to come. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and reveal something to you that you've never heard or read before. You've got to hear it or read it to have it in your mind, and then the Holy Spirit does His work of bringing it back to your attention. Memory is perfect always. Recall is sometimes a bit more difficult, and at our age, we start to recognize that more and more. Recall is more difficult, but the Holy Spirit steps in, and that's His ministry. Luke chapter 21, you not remember when Jesus sent His disciples out? He said to them this, don't worry what you're going to have to say, what your words will be, or what wisdom you're going to need. I'm going to give you the wisdom, I'll give you the words. But again, I must remind you, you have to hear those words or read those words in order for them to be in your brain so the Holy Spirit can use only that. Holy Spirit doesn't come along and reveal anything that you haven't heard or read before. And that's the reason for a daily consistency in studying the Word of God. Now, when we go to the book of Daniel, let me just give a couple of thoughts to you about Daniel before we start tracing through what I would suggest are the four main prophecies in the book of Daniel. In fact, Daniel is not only a prophetic book, but it's a very practical book. If you remember in Daniel chapter 1, and by the way, I'm not going to try to give an extensive study in Daniel in the 45 to 50 minutes I have. I want to whet your appetite, give you the mountain peaks, and encourage you to get in the Word and study it out for yourself. If I can point out a couple of important factors, I believe that would help your study. But Daniel is very prophetic and very practical. Chapter 1, we see Nebuchadnezzar returning from his sojourn down into Egypt. His father has just died. He was the crown prince, the heir apparent. He's on his way back to Babylon to become the king of Babylon. As he goes through Jerusalem, taking a shortcut from the Via Maris, which is the roadway along the Mediterranean, crossing the desert and going over into Babylon, on the way, he stops by Jerusalem, sees a religiosity he's never seen before. They're worshiping in a temple. They're sacrificing animals. He doesn't understand all of this. So he takes four young men from the royal family, Daniel, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael, and he takes them into the Babylonian captivity. He's going to train them into being one or two or three or four of his wise men. It's a council of advisors who gives Nebuchadnezzar, the advice that he needs to have in making decisions. Daniel and the three Hebrew buddies of his are going to be a part of that. But you'll remember in chapter 1 in verse 8, Daniel says, we have purposed in our heart to do right. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to eat from the king's table. We're not going to drink the king's wine. That food is not kosher. In essence, the word kosher is not there, but that's what he's talking about. He's going to follow the dietary rules that were given to him in the book of Deuteronomy. And so he purposes in his heart to do right, and God blesses that, makes all four of these young men 10 times better looking, 10 times more knowledgeable than the ones that were in the training class with them. When you go to chapter 3, Daniel's not on the scene in chapter 3. The three Hebrew buddies are told that they must bow before this image of the beast that was talked about in chapter 2. And if you don't bow, you're going to burn. They said, we're not going to bow, and I don't think we're going to burn. And as you studied chapter 2, you said, if we're thrown in, he said, our God is capable of taking care of us. And if he doesn't, but if he doesn't take care of us, we're still not going to bow. Throw us into the fire. Somebody will take care of us. And of course, the Lord himself appeared to take care of them then in the fire. And it was interesting to me, when you study chapter 3, you'll see that they had on long coats, they had on pants, they had socks, they had hats on, and there wasn't even the smell of smoke on their clothing after they were thrown into the fire. In fact, the only thing that burned when they were in the fire was the rope that they used to tie their hands behind them. And so it's amazing how practical and what precious, precious truths there in chapter 3. Chapter 4, we see that Nebuchadnezzar was a man who thought the world revolved around him. He had an ego that you would not believe. He was an egomaniac of the first degree. And he said, everything that I have done. And the Lord gave him a vision, and Daniel had to interpret it again, and ultimately he was saying, you're going to be like a dog crawling around on your hands and knees. Your hair is going to grow long, your fingernails will grow long, the rain will cause your hair to mat like feathers of a bird, and you're going to be that way for 7 years until you realize it's not you, it's him. And then Nebuchadnezzar comes out and praises the Most High God, one of the key names for God in the book of Daniel, used 5 times in Daniel. The Most High God. Look up those sections and read about the Most High God. That's chapter 4. Chapter 6 is another practical passage. It's after the Babylonian Empire, the Medes and the Persians have defeated the Babylonians, chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. Daniel goes in now under the Medes and Persians and their leadership, and he is made the ruler of the governors of Babylon. There are other governors that are going to be under him. They don't like his control over them. They're Gentiles. What's this Jewish boy from Jerusalem telling us what to do for? And so they plot to get Daniel thrown into the lion's den. And of course, Daniel's custom was to pray 3 times daily, looking towards Jerusalem. He'd go to the window of his room, look out towards Jerusalem, and pray towards the holy mountain of God, the Temple Mount, in the city of Jerusalem. That was his custom. And he didn't vary that custom just because there was a decree that went out that you don't pray to anybody except the leader of the Medes and the Persians. Well, he was thrown in the lion's den, and indeed those who threw him in the lion's den fell into the lion's den, and they were all eaten up. The men that threw him in, their wives and their children, etc. Daniel comes out the better and continues to be a leader among the leaders of the world. You remember now, the Babylonian Empire controlled the entire world. That was the government, the human government of the world. The Medes and the Persians controlled the entire world. And so Daniel was at that echelon as far as his leadership is concerned. And so those 4 chapters, chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 6, are very practical passages.
This prophetic book of Daniel is, as we've studied today, a very practical book as well. In chapters 1, 3, 4, and 6, we see how the Lord teaches us some very important practical lessons. You might want to go back and study these 4 chapters again to learn these practical truths. That would be chapters 1, 3, 4, and 6. As we continue our study of Daniel next week, we'll look at the prophetic passages that deal with the Gentile people down through history from Daniel's day, some 2,500 years ago, up until today. Next week, we'll look at the times of the Gentiles. It's the time that we're living in today. You don't want to miss that study. Please be sure to join us. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...